1-800-636-1067 is the number here on a Thursday night edition of Overtime. We're tapped into the youngest in charge of Noah Willingham, taking you up to 10 o'clock. Number to call is 1-800-636-1067. Question is this. Is Dan Quinn's seat hot going into 2026? Does his seat deserve to be hot? Especially when you consider the moves that he made at coordinator. Last year, Washington's defense, historically bad. They bring in first-time defensive coordinator Durante Jones, a dude that is highly respected throughout the National Football League and a guy that a lot of folks in league circles felt like was, you know, next up in terms of being the next defensive coordinator or next great defensive coordinator in the NFL. Their offensive coordinator hire in David Blau, a little bit of a head-scratcher and a surprise to a lot of folks that are involved here. When you consider the success that Cliff Kingsbury was able to have in 2 years working with Jayden Daniels, and then obviously this past season, the offense just depleted by injury. Should Dan Quinn's seat be hot going into the 2026 season as a result of his decision-making? Gus is in Arlington, wants to check in. What's up, Gus?
Hey, guys. What I'm looking at is half of the season record. You know what? We don't want to hear, but I'm okay if we start 0-9 as long as we finish out the season 4-4. Because you want to give these coordinators time to get their systems out there, right? You can't expect immediate success. We didn't have the roster for anything at the moment either, so we have to give AP some time. But the thing with Blau, what interests me is that this guy wasn't even a quarterback's coach. He was assistant quarterback's coach to Tavita Pritchard. If we had Pritchard on the team, does Blau even become an OC?
Look, I think anybody that, and I appreciate the call, anybody that questions the Blau hire, I totally get it. Purely based on resume, man. And I understand that, you know, according to reports, he was instrumental in drawing up plays and installs and so on and so forth. It's a lot different when you're the one pushing the buttons, right? It's a lot different when you're the guy calling the plays, when you're the voice and the main voice leading the meeting, when you're the main voice in the helmet of the quarterback before the play clock hits a certain time. It's just different. And everybody you talk to feels like, hey, this guy's got the right mentality for the job. That's fine. Can't prove it yet to this point. That's the tough part about this. If you're David Blau, I love the confidence that he spoke with yesterday or Tuesday as well. He's a guy that definitely feels like he belongs in the spot. And I agree that he belongs in the spot. The big question that I have, man, when it comes to David Blau and Durante Jones, more so with Blau, look, experience is great. I'm not one that overvalues experience, though, right? Like, there are guys, you got to get your first crack at doing something somewhere, right? I feel the same way as a sports radio personality, man. You know how many people were pissed off when I was 25 years of age cracking on and doing radio in a top 10 market? How many people questioned it? How many people thought I wasn't ready or prepared for the opportunity? Even to this point, with the new show that I do nationally, you know how many people think that, oh, he's not prepared for the opportunity. What has he done? He's never even hosted his own show before. How does he get to do that on the national level? You got to prove the haters wrong. That's what David Blau and Durante Jones are going to be tasked with coming up this year. For just now joining the program, I want to let you hear it again. And the reason that we're on this topic, 1-800-636-1067. Should Dan Quinn's seat be a little warmer going into 2026 based off of the coordinator hires that he made? Durante Jones, first-time DC on defense. David Blau, first-time play caller and OC on offense. Chris Sims of NBC Sports had this to say about Washington's coordinator hires.
These two decisions right here, that firmly puts you on the hot seat, I think, with what you're doing here. You disgruntle your quarterback about changing the offensive coordinator who he loves and has a relationship with and is awesome, is one of the best offensive coordinators in the sport, and Cliff Kingsbury, and you hire a guy that's never even done anything close to that? We're watching. I mean, that's to me one of the craziest moves of the offseason so far. Crazy. Cliff Kingsbury, everything he's done, his offense is just getting better and better. Jaden Daniels, rookie of the year, looked like it was still going to be good this year, had to deal with some injuries. Even without him, the offense was not the problem. The defense was the problem. The head coach coaches the defense. He was hired to coach the defense, and now he's still not going to coach the defense, and he's going to bring somebody else in to run a scheme that's different than what he used to do to coach the defense. It makes no sense at all. None of it. David Blau was a practice squad quarterback 2 years ago. Now he's calling plays for the Washington Commanders and Jaden Daniels? Yeah, ass is on the hot seat with decisions like that. It better go good.
Strong stuff there from Chris Sims. I want to hear from you. 1-800-636-1067. Should Dan Quinn be on the hot seat? Should his seat be a little bit warmer because of the coordinator hires that he made, hiring David Blau and Durante Jones? 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Goose in Damascus. Wants to chime in. What's going on? What do you think?
First and foremost, love hearing your voice on the radio. I'm 63 years old. You are my favorite sports talk radio guy.
I appreciate it.
Thank you for being back on the radio.
I appreciate
where
you,
where I can hear you.
Hey, you can hear me everywhere, though, Goose. Hold on, Goose. Let me just help you out a little bit.
Dude, bro. I know you're on Westwood One. I'm an old man. I can't stay up to that time of the night.
I dig it, brother.
Let's be real. I mean, you're Magruder. I'm Richard Montgomery.
Ah, I dig it. Montgomery County, stand up. What you got for us,
Goose? We got 1980, buddy. Here's the deal. Dan Quinn 1,000% should be on the hot seat. He's the defensive guy. Our defense has sucked for 2 years. And, you know, I'm looking forward to David Blau doing his stuff, but Quinn's got to be on the hot seat. I know that our Rivera drafts, none of them. I know all of that. But, Linnell, what do you think? I mean, dude, this is it. If we go 9-7, I'll live with it.
Yeah.
I'll live with it. Or 9-8, sorry. I'll live with it, but
I think I mean this is the thing that gets me, right? And I'm going to give you the chance to respond here because I thought it was strong. When you make the conference championship in year one, knowing the lack of success the franchise has had, when you recalibrate things the way that he did, to me it's hard to view him as being on the hot seat going into year three. It just is, man. Nobody signed a 5-year contract. You really think that – I don't know if there's anything that could happen, man, in year number three for him to get canned. They would have to win – if they don't win more than 4 games, I think he's on the hot seat, yes. If they win more than four or five games, I think he's fine.
Linnell, you're probably right, and I'm probably overreacting. It's a Thursday night, though. I'm retired, so might as well be Friday night.
I dig it, Goose. Appreciate
you know what I mean? So, but what it comes down to.
Goose, I appreciate it. I got to get to the next call, though, Goose. 1-800-636-1067. When you're retired and it's Thursday night, it might as well be Friday night. Goose, words of wisdom out of Montgomery County. Peter is in Woodbridge wanting to check in. Peter, should Dan Quinn, should his seat be hotter going into 2026 because of the risky hires he made with both the coordinators?
Hey, how's it going, man? Thursday night.
Appreciate you, man. Appreciate you logging in with us.
I'm not sure. I mean, in my opinion, I could see it both ways. I do want to give them a bit of a doubt. Like, we were rippled with injuries, so it's hard to even see or to, I guess, like, judge the package that was put on the field, to be honest with you. I think we'll definitely find out this year. I'm all for giving somebody a shot, especially offensive play calling and defensive play calling. First-time coordinators, you got to jump in the waters at some point, right? Can't take the steps. Got to cannonball it in the deep end. We'll definitely find out how well they are suited for the job. I think I looked at the opponents we play this year, and we play a lot of top five defenses. A
lot of top five defenses, including so two of the top five defenses, talking about Seattle and Houston. So you're damn right Houston. With that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So we'll definitely see that. I think one unfair thing for Dan Quinn that might make his seat hotter, in my opinion, is that let's say he starts off the season slow. You're going to start hearing whispers turning into shouts for maybe Adam Peters to go after a Mike Tomlin or something like that, where his hand is.
Yeah, and Peter, I appreciate the call. As always, we lost you there. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll wrap up this conversation and move on. We'll pick back up on the Commanders coming up as we exit this 8 o'clock hour. When we come back, though, let's take a trip to California, home of the 2026 NBA All-Star Game. The Wizards have some representation this weekend out at All-Star Weekend. We'll hear about that next when our pal Chase Hughes joins us next. We're coming back from break with this tune, not because it's a great song, because I know how I get on this program. We are a one-song show. But we're taking a trip out to California as we go out to the Rude Guest Hotline for the first time this show, is where we find our pal Chase Hughes. He has boots on the ground in California for All-Star Weekend in the NBA. You can give Chase a follow on every social media platform at Chase DC Sports. And make sure you check out the Off the Bench podcast as well. You can check that out on YouTube and get it wherever you download your podcast. Chase, what's going on, brother? How are you, man?
I'm doing well. Appreciate the plugs, as always. I'm right outside the Intuit Dome right now, so wow. I'm kind of taking it all in. It's pretty spectacular.
I'm about to say, I love to hear that, man. Boots on the ground, giving us the All-Star Weekend scoopage. So Intuit Dome is the newest arena in the NBA. Chase, have you gone here before, or is this your first time?
It'll be my first time at Intuit Dome. I've been to L.A. before, but I've not been to a game at the Clippers. So I'll be spending a lot of time in the Intuit Dome the next few days. I'll tell you all about it once I go inside.
I was about to say, I'm eager to hear about it. State-of-the-art locker room, state-of-the-art arena, just top-tier stuff, man. It's why the NBA chose to hold All-Star Weekend this year out in L.A. at the Intuit Dome. An eventful first half of the season for the Washington Wizards, Chase. Obviously, the last couple of weeks, action has really picked up in terms of on the trade front. Big picture, though, and you can include and touch on the trades if you want. What's been the biggest positive about, or the biggest surprise, I guess, about the first half of the season here for the Wizards?
I would say the pretty sizable leaps that both Alex Saar and Keyshawn George have made. Two guys who were chosen for the Rising Stars game. Alex Saar has a hamstring injury, so he won't play. But Keyshawn George made the Rising Stars this year after not making it last year. Those guys are not only better than they were last season, they look like completely different players. And I think going into this season, we knew the record wasn't going to be what we judged the Wizards by. It was the development of their young players, specifically their recent first-round picks. And I don't think anyone saw the leap that Saar has made in particular coming, because it's just such a dramatic difference from last year. I know he was the second overall pick. He's got a ton of talent, but he's been a completely different player. And so I think the Wizards' long-term outlook looks a lot different and a lot better now than it did just a few months ago.
I want to follow up on what you just said with both Alex and Keyshawn. You're someone that's very plugged into the organization and talk to people around that building. I know when you draft a dude to your organization, Chase, you obviously don't draft him because you think he's going to suck. You think he's going to turn into a good player. After year one with both of those guys, how surprised were folks internally, in your opinion, Chase, that the leap was this significant?
I think there was some level of surprise. I don't think anyone within the organization saw Alex Saar being quite this good compared to last year. It's almost like, all right, next season, if he was like this, okay, I would have gotten that. Right. But he kind of skipped a step in his development. It's been such a big leap. Keyshawn George, I think it was a little bit easier to predict. He was not the second overall pick. He was picked 24th overall. But after having a pretty impressive rookie year, he was pretty clearly their best player in the summer league. And then You know, he played well at America Cup with Team Canada. So there were some signs along the way that he was going to have a breakout season. I think the way he started this year with a couple, you know, 25, 30-point games to begin the season, that was a little surprising. But I think most people thought that he'd be the one to take the big leap forward. And Saar is probably a little more surprising.
Yeah, I think I can agree with you with those sentiments on for the most part, man. And it's been super-duper fun to watch. And for me, and I think for you as well, Chase, being, you know, outside of work, this is who we like to root for as well. It's fun for the city to feel like, once again, there's some optimism, there's a sense of excitement about the team moving forward. Can you peel back the curtain for us a little bit on these two moments? Where were you? What was your immediate reaction and the thing you did 30 seconds following the Anthony Davis news breaking and then the Trae Young news breaking?
Well, I was in my house. I was kind of taking a break from my phone, and my colleague called me when Anthony Davis was traded. Be like, "Hey, have you seen the news?" I was like, "Nah." And he told me, and I was pretty surprised. You know, that one was, I would say, pretty shocking, honestly, because there were no rumors leading up to it.
Right.
No one leaked it from the Dallas side of things. The Wizards like to keep those things in house. The agents involved, you know, no one leaked it. And there were a lot of players involved in that trade, right, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
The Trae Young trade, much less surprising just because the rumors had started to leak out. And to the point where over the course of several days, we heard specifics like, okay, CJ McCollum's probably going to be involved. Corey Kispert's probably going to be involved. And I think it was probably also more expected that Trae Young would be traded in the first place because right. things had kind of soured in Atlanta. I didn't necessarily think it was all that likely that Anthony Davis would be traded from Dallas. So that one really caught me off guard.
And then real quick here with both of the moves, just your instant thoughts and analysis on it and whether or not this is something that fans should be excited about.
Well, I think in both cases, the Wizards struck at an opportunity that they didn't expect to be there. I think they were looking at this offseason and they had a bunch of cap room and they thought that would be the time that they would add some veteran help. I think what's surprising is how big of a swing they took on both of these guys. You know, I thought maybe they would do what, you know, Detroit and Houston did and a lot of teams that sort of enter that next phase of the rebuild, which is just add some role players around the young guys that you've drafted. But they went for marquee guys. And, you know, neither one is a guarantee. Anthony Davis has the injuries. Trae Young has an injury right now, but he's usually pretty durable. But, you know, obviously his play style, there's questions about that. So we'll see if they work out. But I think what they do is they speed up the Wizards' timeline a little bit at a time where they probably are wanted to speed it up a little bit. And looking ahead to next year, you know, that kind of keeps them on schedule to compete for the postseason. Usually it's year four of rebuilds that teams really take off and ideally make the playoffs or the play-in. So I think this keeps them right on schedule.
Joined right now by our pal Chase Hughes, who is literally standing in front of the Intuit Dome, the home of All-Star Weekend in the NBA. That comes your way this weekend. Chase covers the Wizards and the NBA for Monumental Sports Network. You can also check him roaming the sidelines as well on the radio broadcast, Team 980 and 106.7 The Fan, the official radio home of the Washington Wizards. You can check out the Off the Bench podcast. Him and Bijan Todd do a tremendous job with that as well. Big picture here. You know, I got to talk some college hoop with you, Chase, my college basketball junkie. What have you thought about the recent Darren Peterson stuff, man? I know you get to talk to agents and you're, you know, have your ear to the street, so to speak. Are people really freaking out over this stuff or what?
I mean, I think it depends on who you ask. I've been an AJ DiBonsa guy the whole way.
Yeah.
Until I saw Darren Peterson do what he did against BYU. And it's not like it took away from what I thought of AJ DiBonsa, but that was just such an impressive performance. And he didn't even play in the second half.
Right.
But now, you know, he didn't play in the second half. That was kind of weird. And then he didn't play against, you know, the number one team in the country, Arizona. And he had flu-like symptoms. I understand that. But he's missed a lot of games. So I think it's just a reminder that none of the prospects in this draft are actual generational prospects. People keep throwing those words around, that word around, to describe all these guys. a generational prospect is Victor Wembanyama, yeah. LeBron James, or Shaq. They literally they come around once every generation.
Right, literally.
And so I think what this is a reminder of is that none of these guys are the perfect prospect. They're not going to offer any guarantees. So I think I might still lean Peterson number one, but we're starting to see sort of the blemishes in these guys' resumes. You know, none of them are perfect. They all have their faults. And I think that's one thing that teams are going to have to really take a close look at with Darren Peterson is not only his health, but his general availability.
I think the big piece here is what you kind of said, right? Is it being, to me, when you have prospects like this, and I think there are like seven freshmen, Chase, that could potentially come in and lead a franchise moving forward. When the top of the draft is this talented, do you think that the scouts and talent evaluators begin to nitpick a little bit because there are really only so many different things that would separate these guys from one another?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think it's an unusual year where, yes, like I said, there's no LeBron, there's no Wemby, but you have three guys at the top that might be the number one pick in the average draft, right? So you're really splitting hairs because these guys are so talented. Yeah. So it is, I mean, it's always a situation where teams are going to poke holes and try to find whatever they can, whatever reason they can to not draft a guy, essentially. And in this case, it's probably going to go down to the wire. I mean, the night that Kansas and BYU played against each other, Peterson was more impressive. But in the several weeks since, like, DeBonta's just taken off. I mean, he's scoring like 30 every single night. Cam Boozer's been great the whole year. So it's going to ebb and flow. And I think it could be, and I think a lot of people have sort of forecasted this, I think it could be like the year where Paolo Banchero went number one, but it was really between him, Chet Holmgren, and Jabari Smith Jr.
Right.
up until the day of the draft. So I don't think, you know, most years I've been going to the draft lottery the last few years. Mm-hmm. Most years at the lottery, as soon as a team gets the number one pick, sometimes the first and second pick, you know where Cooper Flagg's going or Wemby's going. I think this might be one of those unusual years where, all right, the team that gets the number one pick, then they got to start doing their homework and figure out who they're going to select more so than in years past.
It's going to be fascinating, man, to follow this pre-draft process. Let's just look at the NBA in the second half here real quick. Chase, I was such a big fan of what Cleveland did. It's not just to me about adding James Harden, though, Chase. Obviously, we know what he's capable of, and he's a bigger defender, not a more willing defender than Garland, but probably just bigger. I look at the Keon Ellis and Dennis Schroeder acquisition. When you look at what plagued Cleveland the past couple of years in the postseason, it feels like they've just gotten punked. And I know that's not the astute analysis that people listen for, but there was a little bit of a toughness issue there, man. Adding Keon Ellis and Dennis Schroeder definitely solves that. What do you make of the Cavs here in the second half of the season?
Yeah, I mean, I think you make some good points. They added size. They had an undersized backcourt. They added some defense on the perimeter with Schroeder and with Ellis. And, you know, I saw a really interesting stat the other day. Tom Haberstroh of Yahoo Sports broke it down. We all think of, like, strength of schedule, like remaining schedule. He broke it down which teams are playing against the most tanking teams through the rest of the year, right? How many matchups do you have left against teams that don't want to win that game?
Right.
That might be,
right.
You know, resting their starters in the fourth quarter or resting them all together. And Cleveland has the most games remaining against tanking teams. So that really stood out to me. And
that's not a good thing, though, is it, Chase?
I mean, it's good for them if they're trying to move up the, you know, and with their Eastern Conference playoff seeding. So I think that could help them. But James Harden, just like Donovan Mitchell, both of those guys have a lot of questions to answer in the postseason. So I think they're looking good right now. They're the fourth seed in the East. I think because of that tanking team advantage, they might move up from four to maybe the second or third seed in the East. But we got to see those guys perform in the playoffs because they've had some trouble in the past.
And just to keep things in the Eastern Conference, I haven't talked big picture basketball with you in a while, so you're probably thinking, damn, Linnell's crazy with some of the things I'm about to throw at you. If I had an MVP vote, Chase, it would go to Jaylen Brown. What have you made of his season, and do you think Boston – is a real challenger in the East here to come out?
Yeah, that's really interesting. You know, he's not going to have the numbers that Joker or SGA or Luka will have, but I mean, in terms of just value, what Boston has done, first of all, as an organization, it's unbelievable to lose, you know, arguably a top five player, certainly a top 10 player, and be the second best team in the conference and look like they could go on a deep playoff run. I mean, just an unbelievable example of team building for them. And Jaylen Brown has really answered the bell. I mean, you know, he's facing much tougher defenses than he did in years past.
Right.
You know, Jason Tatum attracts the best defender every night and a lot of attention, a lot of double teams. So I think he's definitely in the running. I would imagine he's going to be a top five vote getter for MVP. Mm-hmm. Whether he can wrestle it away from those guys who put up just, you know, astronomical numbers, I'm not sure. But if they finish with the first seed in the East, if they can catch Detroit, man, he's going to have a really good case.
I know a lot of people love OKC, and Chase will let you go on this, my friend. Who's like that sneaky team right now that no one's talking about that you think can legitimately make a finals run?
You know, that's a good question.
Couple of different options.
Would Minnesota count? Because Minnesota right now, they're what? They're the fifth seed in the West. Yeah, they're the five seed. Ayo Dosunmu has already made an interesting impact. I think that was a good acquisition for them. You know, they needed some help at that position. Yeah. And they've been in the conference finals the last 2 years with Rudy Gobert and Anthony Edwards and Jaden McDaniels. And, you know, I like what Julius Randle gives them. So they find a way to win in the playoffs, and they've been knocking on that door. So I'd probably go with them. I still think the Lakers are pretty dangerous. I know they've had a bit of a disappointing season. But Luka, I mean, we saw it a couple years ago when Dallas went to the finals. Like, you don't want to face that guy in the playoffs if he's healthy. But I would go with Minnesota just because they've been close, and I don't think anyone's really considering them anything close to the favorites at this point.
It is going to be fascinating to see, my friend. I appreciate you making some time for us. Enjoy the good weather of Southern California, my friend.
All right, man. Will do.
That is our guy, Chase Hughes, one of the absolute best talking all things NBA and the Washington Wizards. Give him a follow on the X app at Chase DC Sports. And then seriously, I know we do the whole, you got to plug your guest bit. Like, seriously, I am a regular consumer of the pod that he does off the bench with Bijan Todd of Monumental Sports. Man, they do an absolutely awesome job. So make sure you check that out on YouTube and wherever you get your podcast. A lot more to get into here on this Thursday night edition of Overtime. Feels like the weekend already for your boy. Appreciate you all checking out the show. However you're doing so, 106.7 The Fan, thefandc.com, the always free Odyssey app. We appreciate you being here. A lot more to get into. We'll get back into the Washington Commanders, plus we'll take a spin around the National Football League as we roll throughout this bad boy. And then in the 9 o'clock hour, Mike Mayock, NFL general manager, former NFL general manager, going to join the program. We'll have a big picture discussion on the NFL draft. That's coming up later in the show. But when we get back, I do want to get back into the burgundy and gold. We spent a lot of time hearing from Durante Jones, the new defensive coordinator of the Commanders. When we come back, I want to let you hear from David Blau, the new offensive coordinator for the Washington Commanders. And he won over social media yesterday with a quote that he gave. I'll let you hear that next. Always love catching up with my guy Chase Hughes, the Monumental Sports Network. If you missed any of that conversation, your guy Metal Chris will have the podcast up for you momentarily. You can check it out using the rewind feature on the Always Free Odyssey app as well. Go back to about 8:17 to hear the conversation with Chase Hughes. He is boots on the ground in Los Angeles in front of the Intuit Dome is where he called us from, man. So we're just giving it to you raw, live, and direct here on a Thursday night edition of Overtime. Chase out in L.A. for All-Star Weekend, where the Wizards actually going to be pretty well represented. Alex Saar, Keyshawn George, Trey Johnson, all a part of the Rising Stars game. And Alex Saar going to be replaced by Bub Carrington as a Rising Star. That news broke earlier today after Alex Saar going to miss about a week or two with a calf strain. So we'll see, you know, how quickly the big fella can get back on the floor. Him and Anthony Davis potentially playing together, I think, is a super intriguing prospect. It is something that to me makes a whole lot of sense from a basketball standpoint. If AD can stay healthy, man, they have a chance legitimately to have the best defensive front court in the league. They have what every team strives to have. Two bigs at the four and the five that can guard one through five and then also step out on the perimeter and knock down jump shots. I'm telling you all, man, I know people are going to say, well, he's made of glass. What do you mean? You can't rely on him. He's never going to be healthy. He's never going to be available. I hear all of those concerns. I swear to God I do. But you gave up a ham sandwich, pretty much. You gave up a damn full peanut butter and jelly sandwich. You gave up an Uncrustable to acquire a guy in Anthony Davis that, when he's right and healthy, an all-NBA caliber guy, man. One of the best two-way dudes the sport's ever seen. So I get it. I quite frankly love the thought process. You just hope that Anthony Davis is able to stay healthy. On the flip side, with the Trae Young piece of this, and I don't know if we've spent a whole lot of time on the Trae Young part of this, he is one of the elite shot makers and passers in this league, right? The big Achilles heel is defense, right? He's vertically challenged. He's a short guy. And there are some limitations he has there. I don't know if he's ever been surrounded by four other guys that can mask his deficiencies the way that Washington has the ability to do so. Starting with Sauron Anthony Davis, and then Bilal, and then Keyshawn George. Like, there are dudes, hell, Jahmyr Watkins. There are dudes all up and down this roster that have some pretty decent chops on the defensive end. And I know what people are going to say, Linnell, you're talking about a 13-win basketball team right now. Yeah, I get it. I totally get it. But they're doing this thing the right way. They tore it down to the studs, and they've hit on pretty much every player that they've selected. The days of drafting Johnny Davises are over. They're done. Finito. The days of drafting Troy Brown Jr. Done. Finito. We got real basketball evaluators here in-house. They're going to leave no stone unturned when it comes to unearthing the best talent across the world. Notice I said across the world. They went all the way over to France to scout Bilal when everyone was infatuated with Victor Wembanyama's teammate. You know why? Because they're geeking to find quality talent. Love everything about it. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Why don't we do this? Why don't we reset things, get back on track? I want to get back into the Washington Commanders coming up. David Blau, new offensive coordinator for the Washington Commanders, in my opinion, had to have been reading social media with the comments that he had yesterday to John Duren of WSA9. We'll let you hear from David Blau coming up next here on The Fan. Welcome back. It is a Thursday night edition of Overtime with the youngest in charge, Linnell Willingham. Taking you up to 10 o'clock, Tech Talk Live comes your way following us here on The Fan. Just hopped off the phone with our pal Chase Hughes, the Monumental Sports Network. He is out in Los Angeles for All-Star Weekend, where the Wizards are represented pretty well. If you missed any of that conversation, download the always free Odyssey app. Use the Odyssey Rewind feature and go back to about 8:15. In the 9 o'clock hour, one of the best draft analysts in the business going to join the program. Our pal Mike Mayock going to join the program. We'll take a spin around the NFL, talk a little bit of NFL draft, talk a little bit about the Washington Commanders as well. Want to let you hear from David Blau coming up here momentarily. Before we do that, Greg is in Upper Marlboro, wants to chime in on the old Washington Wizards. Greg, what's going on?
Man, I appreciate you giving me the opportunity, brother.
Yeah, for sure.
To voice my opinion, man. Yeah, I love the Wizards. I've been a fan since way back in the day when they won a championship, believe it or not, back in 78. You know, 79. I've been watching them for a long time. And I'm excited about, you know, the young puppies. But there are nights where they're kind of insufferable to watch because when you lose by 30 or 40 points. And, you know, sometimes I don't understand what the coach is doing when he refuses to play two bigs at the same time. Like, I know he traded a Bagley, but I know that if you play Sarr at the power forward, and let Bagley play center, I think they would have got a lot more dividends. But to me, it's clear they weren't trying to win. You know what I mean?
Right. No, I think I mostly agree with what you're saying. I just don't know. And, Greg, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. I don't know how anybody could have any problem with what they've accomplished to this point throughout this course throughout the course of the rebuild. I mean, it's not going to be perfect.
Well, I like the, you know, the trades that they made, but I haven't seen nobody play yet. You see what I'm saying?
Well, you're not watching, because that's the point.
yeah, I got it. And, you know, we're trying to get, a better draft pick for this upcoming draft and all that kind of stuff. But in the meantime, you got to sit through 30-point and 40-point losses. The other thing, the last thing I'll say, brother, before I let you go,
yes, sir,
is my man Coulibaly, man.
Yeah,
he got to step his game up, because he seems to have lost a little bit of his confidence. I don't know what they can do to help get him back on track, as far as his confidence is concerned, because he's almost like not a threat offensively at all. You know what I mean? He plays good defense or decent defense, but he seems to be very hesitant. You know, and then the team overall, they're young. So I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt because they're young. But the turnovers, man, is outrageous. I watch these guys turn over the ball. And even Keyshawn can play really nonchalant and kind of lazy basketball.
They're young, though. So I think, like, I hope you're looking at everything that they've done or not done through that lens.
Like, yeah, but turnover the basketball.
They're going to make mistakes. They're going to turn the ball
over. Yeah, I got that, but turnover the basketball all the time, like it's nothing, you know. Because they've been doing it long enough now that they can make that adjustment. Okay, we're not going to turn over the basketball, take care of the basketball better. Because these guys have been playing basketball since they were like 11 years old. So they know the fundamentals, you know what I mean? Now, I understand they're young, so, you know, they're going to, you know, I know they're going
to
get better.
I appreciate the call, brother. That's the answer to the question.
Yeah, got it.
Yeah. Right, and I agree with most of what he was saying. I 100% agree with most of what Greg was saying. Like, it's the hard part, right? Sitting through the rebuild and watching them tank and so on and so forth. But we're getting ready. We're getting ready to get to a point where, you know, we're going to be rewarded, where we're going to reach the other side of the rainbow, so to speak. So I just saw a tweet come across. And I want to get to what he mentioned about Bilal Coulibaly here in a second. Jordan Poole hasn't played in 10 straight games for the Pelicans. 10 straight games for the Pelicans. 10 straight games. Basically, the Wizards turned Jordan Poole into CJ McCollum, who then turned into Trae Young. So once again, if you were a doubter, can I make you a believer? Chess, not checkers. From Will Dawkins and Monumental, point blank. 1-800-636-1067. He mentioned Bilal Coulibaly, and I love me some Bilal. Here's the thing. Here's why I pull back the curtain a little bit. My first year as a credentialed media member for the Wizards was the Bradley Beal year, the year that he ultimately got traded. In that year, I got to meet. Well, that next year, I got to meet Bilal Coulibaly. And Bilal, think about this, coming in the league, you're an 18-year-old kid, man. He's a puppy. And all the conversations I ever had with Bilal were not about basketball at first. And we were able to go deeper in things as his English got better. And that kid loves basketball. That kid's a dog. That kid's uber tough. That kid competes his ass off defensively. Yes, the offensive game is a work in progress. Yes, it's limited. Shooting 26% right now from three. And a 33-game sample size. So he's got to get better as a shooter. His free throw percentage has improved each year he's been in the NBA. I think what he provides on defense, though, and what he gives you in stocks, talking about steals, blocks, I mean, he's legit. If he could ever get the three-point shot to fall on a routine, consistent basis, boy, I mean, he's, as a bad mamma jamma, is the best way that I could ultimately put it, man. I am all in on Bilal Coulibaly. I know fans out there, like Greg, are going to say, well, Where's the offense? Is he ever going to come around on that end of the floor, Linnell? I don't know if he ever going to come around. I ain't going to sit here and lie to you now. I don't know if he'll ever come around offensively. But I do know this about Bilal. It's not because he's not putting in the work. You know what I'm saying? Kid can play. Him, Keyshawn, Saur, Bub, Trey Johnson, Wiz Kids, baby. Will Riley, the Wiz Kids, baby. Jahmyr Watkins, Wiz Kids. They're all gym rats. Will Dawkins, and I give brother a whole bunch of credit, right? Waves look good in his head. Shorty's just him. He's put together well, well-spoken. What he is doing as far as a talent evaluator and what he's doing from that standpoint, they've hit on all of their picks, it feels like, in this rebuild. And when I say hit, not every guy's drafted to be Michael Jordan. You know what I'm saying? Not everyone's drafted to be MJ. But if you look at the draft picks that he's had since he's gotten here, Bub Carrington, I think it was 19 overall, Bilal within the top 10, Keyshawn in the late 20s, Trey Johnson in the top 10 this past year, Will Riley in the late 20s this past year, Alex Saur second overall, Jahmyr Watkins, was Jahmyr Watkins late first or early second? Mid-second round pick, and Jahmyr Watkins can just straight up defend and is a junkyard dog. They have a type. They know what they're looking for. And straight up, they're going out and they're getting it. Final hour of power here on this Thursday night edition of Overtime. That comes your way next. When we come back, we'll let you hear from the offensive coordinator of the Washington Commanders, David Blau. He turned some heads in a good way with something he said to John Duren of WSA 9. We'll let you hear from David Blau next.